God's Word is filled with paradoxes. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July provides lenses to evaluate and bring clarity to these paradoxes. It's titled, Faith That Sees Through the Culture. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Faith That Sees Through the Culture, 1-800-325-3040.
The Me Too movement could be the start of something terrific if it's seen as an act of rebellion by women against the loose sexual morals that have prevailed for the last several decades.
Help me keep the law of God, not the law of God as I want it to be, but the law of God as is revealed in Scripture is the only way to really show love to your neighbor and love to God.
Our Good Shepherd will not abandon us, and even if we lose every other memory we have, we will still remember the voice of our Shepherd.
This is Joel from Nebraska and classical guitarist, Love, Issues, Etc.
According to the Associated Press, this letter, this artifact, is expected to sell for at least $300,000. It is a letter penned by Martin Luther 500 years ago, a little letter written on both sides. Why would someone pay so much for a letter from the pen of Martin Luther? He wrote a lot of things. I'm sure there are a lot of things that he has written that are lying around or in museums or elsewhere. This one, though, is notable for another reason, not only because it may fetch a lot of money on auction, but according to the Associated Press, the letter is derogatory of the Jews, which is not unusual for Luther late in life, saying things that sound very mean-spirited to our modern sensibilities about the Jews. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about an auction of a Martin Luther letter, derogatory of the Jews. Dr. Uwe Simonetto will be our guest here for the first few minutes of the program. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be in John chapter 8, where Jesus forgives an adulterous woman. Dr. Frank Beckwith will be our guest after that. We'll see what he has to say about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. He's professor of philosophy and church state studies at Baylor University. Then we'll round everything off today talking about whether or not Americans really support Roe v. Wade. We read it all the time that Americans support Roe v. Wade by 75%. Why do we keep reading that? Is it true? And if it isn't, what do Americans really think about Roe v. Wade? Dr. Charles C. Camosi, associate professor of theology and social ethics at Fordham University, will be our guest in the last half hour of the program. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or feel free to use the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the auction of a Martin Luther letter, derogatory of the Jews, Dr. Uwe Simonetto, a regular guest, a native of Germany, a former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, and author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Modern Myths. Uwe, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
First of all, why would a letter from the pen of Martin Luther be expected to fetch more than $300,000 on auction?
Either because the buyer is anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish, or he's anti-Lutheran and likes to prove things there, or he's just anti-Christian and finds any document flying in the face of Christian, of the Christian message. That's basically, I can't, or else he's just nuts. I mean, if I had $300,000 to spend, I knew exactly what I would do, but I certainly wouldn't buy a letter like that, which is a sad document. That's all we can say. I, as a Christian and as a really conservative Lutheran, I find this a sad document, period.
Let's set it in its context, if we could, Uwe. Talk about what was motivating, or what was in the mind of Luther, if we can do that, albeit later in his life, where he was, on occasion, as in this letter, referencing one of his former associates, Agricola, and making passing reference to the Jews, or in documents like The Jews and Their Lies. What was Luther thinking?
Well, there are two reasons for Luther's sudden turn against, or sudden or gradual turn against the Jews, having been very pro-Jewish, very supportive of them. One was that he, as this guy here, that in your story, this Professor Boyd Brown of Boston University, by the way, that's Christopher Boyd Brown, comes from the university where I got my doctorate from. But he quite rightly says he was cranky. He had medieval Christian charges that the Jews killed Christ, but it was more than that. He bought into the persistent rumors that Jews killed, kidnapped, killed small children, babies, and killed them and used their blood for sacramental purposes, which is nonsense. And he was denounced by his own co-reformer, Andreas Osiander of Nuremberg, for that. Most Lutheran theologians, including Melanchthon, did not buy into that. Luther was, let's face it, he was very sick, and he was cranky. I know that. I've just been very sick for 3 months, and my wife's very sick, and I occasionally become cranky. That's when I can't walk straight or something like that. In Luther's case, he couldn't urinate because his urinal tracts were blocked with gallstones. He had six doctors working on it. He saw the whole world tumbling down around him. What he said about the Jews is benign compared to what he said about his fellow Germans, that they're all hellbound because they had not accepted the gospel. You do not take the final utterances of a great man on his deathbed as seriously as don't have to take it seriously. You should take seriously what he had said and written at the height of his career.
Perhaps another irritating factor that I wonder about is the subject of this letter is not so much the Jews. The Jews are mentioned in passing, but the subject of the letter is one Johann Agricola that Luther had once prized as a disciple of sorts. And then Agricola went terribly wrong and, in essence, had a lot of kind of false repentances with Luther. Luther found Agricola fairly irritating himself, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Well, then, again, that's Luther. You know, Luther found all sorts of people who seemed to disagree with him, you know, irritating. Think of Erasmus of Rotterdam. I mean, this amazing debates with him, which finally ended up in a clash. Luther was not a pussycat. He was not. He was a very tough-nosed guy, and he spouted off a lot of stuff. And some people took umbrage, such as Agricola, and others did not.
You had mentioned Luther buying into rumors about some atrocities committed by European Jews.
Yeah.
I take it that Luther's views on the Jews were not entirely uncommon in that place at that time.
No, not uncommon at that time, but it was throughout the Middle Ages that kept popping up, this rumor, time and again, throughout the Middle Ages, throughout Europe, Christian Europe, not just Germany, that the Jews were doing that and kidnapping children and then using their blood, babies for that matter, and using their blood for rituals. And Luther didn't buy into this when he was younger, when he was in his 30s or so. But by the time, you know, that letter was written, well, it was in 1543 already, 1543, by the time he wasn't in normal manner, and he bought into what people in the streets said, the Jews did this, the Jews did that, and then he just bought into it, as he bought into all sorts of things, as he also bought into the infidelity of, alleged infidelity of all Germans, which I'm quite sure was not as bad as the infidelity of all Germans nowadays, you see. To me, this I'm glad actually that Metaxas, the Luther biographer, and this Professor Boyd and others warned against taking this too seriously, relativized it, because more importantly is that Luther was not an anti-Semite, and that's what I stress in my book. Luther, to the very end of his life, made it very clear, and also in this letter, that that he was not against the Jews as a race. He said, you know, those who, of course, who accepted the gospel were not devils. The Nazis killed baptized and unbaptized Jews. So that link is cannot even be established. Luther was very, very clear that his argument against the Jews, albeit his very unpleasant argument against the Jews stylistically, was theologically grounded and not racially grounded. And as I said, I think previous at your show, there was no anti-Semitism in the world. It didn't exist. As little as any other forms of racism existed, all this came up with the Enlightenment. Luther was not a nationalist because nationalism didn't exist in the 15th century. Luther had theological objections against the Jews, and they, in the end, of course, found it a scandal that with their unbelief they lived among Christians and therefore spoiled or poisoned the purity, theological purity of the people they were living with. But it was strictly religiously grounded and not racially.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking to him about an AP story on the auction of a Martin Luther letter derogatory of the Jews on this Tuesday afternoon. When we come back, we'll talk in a little more detail about Luther's theological objections. Stay tuned. God's Word is filled with paradoxes. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July provides lenses to evaluate and bring clarity to these paradoxes. It's titled, Faith That Sees Through the Culture. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Faith That Sees Through the Culture, 1-800-325-3040.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our Synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the Synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the auction of a Martin Luther letter, Derogatory of the Jews. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest, author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Modern Myths. You can find out more about this book under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. You can also call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and order The Fabricated Luther. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. 3040. All right, Uwe, let's talk a little bit about that theological objection. You had mentioned that Luther had begun with his discovery of the gospel with high hopes about this newly rediscovered gospel being a means of reaching the Jews and converting them to Christianity. He was sincere about the power of the gospel to save all men, wasn't he?
Well, absolutely. And he had long correspondences with Jews about that as well. Got increasingly frustrated when they did not buy into it. Mind you, a lot of non-Jews didn't buy into it either. But didn't make it as clear as Orthodox Jews did. And then, of course, as he grew older, you see the point is really not so much. Well, this is a point, of course, there is the theological point, but then you have to add to that theological point the very fact that he was totally depressed by the time he made the statement. He saw his work collapsing. He saw the world around him. He saw the false teachings all around him. He perceived the public as deaf or deaf to the gospel, especially Germans. They said, "Well, you Germans, I speak to you. I'm your prophet, and you dumb idiots, you don't even listen. You wouldn't even buy into that." It was an all round frustration, and he was very, very depressed. I mean, I've been. It's very difficult. It's not good reading to read about the dying Luther or the Luther in his dying years, which of course ended with his grandiose last written words: "We are all beggars. This is true." That's where it culminated in. Whereas the Luther that we all relish and love is the Luther who cleaned up the gospel, who read Romans carefully, and it came up that we were all being saved by grace through our faith, and in Christ's salvific word on the cross.
Uwe, let's talk a little bit about another concern that Luther had about the Jews, and that was, I think we call it blasphemy nowadays. Yes. He was concerned that they publicly cursed Jesus Christ.
Yes, that is why he wanted them expelled from the Christian nation, you see. Yes. He saw the refusal to accept the gospel as a form of blasphemy because they rejected Jesus. They rejected what Jesus had done. They rejected Jesus as the Messiah, as the promised Messiah. And he considered that blasphemous. Yes.
Do we need some better education? We just passed the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Martin Luther was the subject of a lot of press and a lot of remembering. But do we need better education on Luther to distinguish the man from his theology, to distinguish Luther at, as you said, the peak of his career from Luther in his rather precipitous decline?
Yes, of course we should do that. We should do that with any great thinker, and especially as Christians, we should do that with Luther. We should stick to what Luther has taught us. Your sins are forgiven. The gospel. That's what we should stick with. And he cleaned it up, and he explained it so well. that he explained to the two kingdoms. I mean, that's unique, the way he outlined the two kingdoms, that every Christian is a citizen of two different realms, both of which are under God, but there's one is the realm of grace and the other one is of Christ, and the other is the secular realm. All this is glorious stuff. I have been lecturing about this lately in totally non-Lutheran circles, even Catholics. Last year in France, I told Catholics about that, and they found this stirring, especially the two kingdoms doctrine. And I think the stories, I mean, the story, the Associated Press was perfectly correct in print and printing the story. It's a newsworthy story. But these stories about the bad Luther somehow destroy the wonderful message that that this man has taught, and which will last forever, I think, and which will come up in time and again. And you notice that now this Professor Brown, who's rejecting this, or Metaxas is not a Lutheran. I mean, very good Christians accept Luther as a prophet. But unfortunately, a prophet who, like all of us in his declining years, became decrepit and unpleasant went nuts and was screaming in pain. I mean, I have read descriptions of this man in this declining, lying there in bed with six doctors surrounding him and screaming in agony. And then, in this agony, he had the feeling that the Jews were, that his message didn't get through, especially not the Jews, the people of God, that they rejected Christ, and in addition to which they went around, because he accepted the rumor in his demented situation, he accepted that rumor that they killed babies. I find I can't tell you how angry it makes me that a fantastic, great message, the one that made me a committed Christian, is being diminished by fools who focus on the utterings of a demented, dying man. This is just horrible, and it is very unfair. And you asked the right question in the beginning: why would people buy this? Why anybody? You would put out $300,000 out for it if you either want to prove that the Jews are all awful, or that Luther is awful and was wrong, and all Christians following Luther are nuts. You know. So it's actually a crazy thing to do. You know, why don't they go and buy a wonderful piece of art for $300,000? Would look very nice in the living room.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a native of Germany. He's a former religion editor for United Press International. He's founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life and author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Modern Myths. Uwe, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Todd. Bye-bye.
We know that our listeners love classical Christian hymnody, and that's why we have produced a CD, a second CD, of Issues Etc., listeners' favorite hymns sung by the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. We'll send you this CD featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir for a contribution of $100 or more to Issues Etc. You can contribute by check. Remember to write music CD in the memo line of your check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also contribute by clicking the Music CD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. And you can also order by calling us, 618-223-8385. On the other side of the break, Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, as we do every week, the story from John chapter 8, where Jesus forgives the woman caught in adultery.
It can be tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Everything we hold dear seems to be under fire. our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs. We need clarity amid the chaos, unchanging truth in a world of lies. The Lutheran Witness can help. Get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Trinity Lutheran Church, LCMS, of Tryon, North Carolina, also serves the South Carolina upstate. We uphold the confessional standard of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We follow the apostolic practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day using a biblical historic liturgy. Our small parish is teeming with little ones, along with many of retirement age. Several Issues Etc. listeners have been welcomed into Christ's fold here from outside Lutheranism. We invite any unchurched in the area to join us at 10:15 each Sunday.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC RUCEM.com.